Good morning. Just another typical day in 2020, right? Would you stand with me wherever you might be this glorious day as we read a piece of passage that is absolutely awesome? As we read from the prophet Isaiah, the second prophecy of the Christmas child. Isaiah chapter 9, verses 1 through 6 says, "Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future he will honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of the sea beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation, increased their joy. They rejoice before you as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor, every warrior's boot used in battle and every garment rolled in blood will be destined for burning, will be fuel for the fire. For to us, a child is born. To us, a son is given. And the government will be on his shoulders. And he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Let's pray. Father, we come before you today in the name of your amazing Son, Jesus. We come before you today, entering in to Christmas 2020. What would be your message for us today, our King? What does your voice have to speak to us today? We pray, Lord God, that you would touch our eyes that we might see you more clearly today. We ask, Father, that you would touch our ears that we might hear more clearly today. Help us to understand Jesus and what he means to us today. We pray this for your glory, and we pray this in the name that's above all names, the name of the one who every knee will bow and every tongue will one day confess that he's the Lord. We pray this in the name of Jesus. And all those who love the Lord would say, amen. Amen. It's good to be with you. Welcome wherever you are and whoever you are and what part of the country or the world you might be in. We come today as people on a journey to meet Jesus and to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. And I say Merry Christmas because I believe that of all years, we need Christmas now more today than ever. If there was ever a time when I need to celebrate Christmas, it's this year. If there's ever a time I believe that we need to celebrate Christmas, it's this year. Thank the Lord. Thank God for the Christmas season. And the message that this season brings, if we would just listen. A couple weeks ago, we were putting up, by the way, tonight, don't miss, we have our, everybody has a family tree. Well, the church has a family tree. And we have a tree that's out in the gazebo this year. We put it out there. And tonight from 5 to 6 o'clock, we're just going to gather outside in the courtyard, and we're going to we're going to have a tree lighting service. And we're going to sing Christmas carols, and we're going to read the Christmas story. It's going to be very simple and very moving. And I invite you. People said, Pastor Frank, our family is going to be making like a paper Christmas ornament, and we're going to write down Christmas prayers, and we're going to hang them on the tree tonight. Is that okay? And the answer is yes. The children are making Christmas ornaments that they want to hang on the tree tonight. This is a family, a Christian family here at Barranca Parkway, Woodbridge Community Church. I encourage you to bring an ornament, maybe make an ornament, and write down a Christmas prayer, maybe a thank you to the Lord or something you desire of God. And we'll have some time during Christmas carols tonight where we'll allow you kids to go up and hang a Christmas ornament on the Christmas tree. It's going to be great. It's going to be awesome. A couple weeks ago, we were hanging up our Christmas ornaments on our tree. And I have to tell you, I was a little down. You probably have loved 2020. Well, I think this year stinks. And we bought a tree and we're putting the ornaments and I was just looking at the memories of all the Christmas ornaments and just trying to push back worry and anxiety, sadness in my heart for so many people. More people have committed suicide in Japan this year than have died from the pandemic. Doesn't that bother you? It just grieves my heart. Everybody's hurting. And so we're putting on ornaments. And as we were putting on ornaments, I grabbed this one to put it on the tree. And I stopped. And I began reading it. For unto us a child is born. Unto us a son is given, Isaiah 9:6. And I'm hanging this and it stopped and it was almost like I was teleported and I'm staring at this and I just felt God just speaking to me. I'm real. I'm here. Isaiah. And I love the prophet Isaiah. For me, on my spiritual journey of coming to meet, know, and follow Jesus, I was a skeptic who began reading the Gospels one summer and finally understood what Christians believed and didn't know, well, how do you know what you believe is true? And a brother of mine in Christ was sharing with me and he had me read the prophet Isaiah. And the prophecies in Isaiah converted me. Isaiah 53. So Isaiah is special, and there it is, Isaiah. And I'm just sitting here going, Christmas, the Christmas Advent, the Christmas candle, there's a prophecy candle. It speaks of how this Jesus is the prophetic child that comes. And I was looking at this and said, wouldn't it be cool to do a series called The Christmas Prophecies in the Book of Isaiah? Because Isaiah is filled with the Christmas prophecies. We sing the prophecies of Isaiah every year at Christmas time. And that's what I want to do. And so last week, we started with the first prophecy found, the Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 7. And a sign will be given to you that a virgin will be with child. And will give birth, and they will call this child Emmanuel, which means God with us. Last week we studied this prophecy, that this was a sign to the king, 700 BC, that this was a sign to the Jewish nation. 700 years later, at the birth of Jesus, and the angel explains this to Joseph, that this child is the fulfillment of this prophecy. And it's a sign to you and I. And this week, we're going to do the second Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. People, the book of Isaiah is awesome. Jesus quotes the prophet Isaiah more than any other prophet in the New Testament. The book of Isaiah is awesome. The New Testament writers quote the prophet Isaiah 66 times. The New Testament writers quote him 66 times. 20 of the 27 New Testament books quote the prophet Isaiah. Isaiah is awesome. Isaiah is awesome in the eyes of Jesus. Jesus quotes Isaiah more than any other Old Testament prophet because Isaiah is the prophetic prophet that speaks of the coming Messiah. Jesus says, you search the scriptures because you think in them you have eternal life. You don't. You have eternal life from the one that the Scripture speaks about. And the Scripture speaks of me. And you're unwilling to come to me to have life. The Scriptures are the one that give testimony of Jesus. And Jesus, all through His life, would say, I'm fulfilling Scripture. I'm fulfilling Scripture. They handed the prophet Isaiah the scroll of Isaiah at his hometown in Nazareth. And he opens it up and he reads Isaiah 61. He says, I fulfill this Scripture today. Jesus loves the prophet Isaiah. The New Testament loved the prophet Isaiah. Archaeology loves the prophet Isaiah and the Dead Sea Scrolls. If you were here last week, it's the most preserved scroll found in the Dead Sea, the scroll of Isaiah. And if you go to Israel today, you go to the museum in Jerusalem, you can see the Isaiah scroll. And you can read. It's like God preserved this scroll more than... This is the one to keep. See, Isaiah is special. Special to me, because God used Isaiah and the prophecies to convert me as a skeptic. Isaiah is special. Yesterday, the prophet, Rabbi Feldman is here speaking as a Messianic Jew. Isaiah was used to convert him as a Jew to believer, to a Messianic Jew, a Jew that now believes the Messiah has come through Jesus Christ. See, Isaiah is special. And when we, and you don't need, Isaiah is special because you read his prophecies all the time at Christmas time. Did you even know that? Isaiah is special. Today, the second Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah, and it's two chapters after the first prophecy, Isaiah 7, this one's Isaiah 9. For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. It's like God is adding information of Isaiah 7 with Isaiah 9, speaking both of a child and giving more data on who this child is. What is the context of this Christmas prophecy? What is the context of this Christmas prophecy? What is the context? When we read Isaiah 9, well, what is the context? And I see, you got to get this. When I taught at Biola University, what a privilege it was to teach my old alma mater. And I taught a class on hermeneutics, which is biblical interpretation, the science on how do you interpret and read the Bible. People, a prophet's job is twofold. A prophet's job is forthtelling. The prophet comes and speaks on God's behalf to God's people at a certain time, in a certain place, in a certain setting. And the prophet's job is forthtelling and foretelling. And it's a gall, fore, right? It's a gall, it's a prophecy into the future. And you have to know this because this prophecy is both. God is speaking at a specific time and place to his people, and then he whips out the golf club and he sends a prophecy into the future. And Isaiah is the one through which this is done. Here's the big picture. God's people are in rebellion at the time of Isaiah in 700 BC. And I read this last week, but I think it's so good just to read it one more time. Isaiah is speaking to a people in Jerusalem. Isaiah lived in Jerusalem. He lived in the royal city. He was acquainted with the royal families. He was a prophet to many different kings. And he begins Isaiah. When you read Isaiah the prophet, here's the situation. Isaiah 1, 2 through 4. Hear me, you heavens. Listen, earth, God speaking through his prophet. The Lord has spoken. I reared children and brought them up, but they've rebelled against me. The ox knows its master, God says. The donkey, its owner's manger, or an owner's feeding. This is my bowl where I eat. But Israel does not know. My people don't understand. Woe to the sinful nation, a people whose guilt is great. A brood of evildoers, children given to corruption. This is God's people. They've forsaken the Lord. They have spurned the Holy One of Israel, and they've turned their backs on God. This is the context through which Isaiah writes. And I said this last week, do you have an animal? Do you have a pet? I got great, people were really impressed with our dog, Rosie. Behold our pet. She's a 7-pound Yorkie. She's our attack dog. She's the one that defends our house. And as you can see, she has brought a stick in from the backyard, and then she chews the stick right in front of us until we get so angry we chase after her. It's a game we play with our dog. When we come home today, this dog will be waiting for us and very glad to see us. Rosie loves us. When you go home today, for those of you that have pets, will your animal be happy to see you? Will your animal recognize you? Will your animal know you? Will your animal be glad to see you? See, God says that His people are worse than your pets. God says that His people are less faithful than your pets. They're less grateful. They're less loyal. And they're less understanding than your animals, than our dog. And not only that, but here we go. They actually seek other masters. How sad it would be is if we're walking with our dog, Rosie, and all of a sudden she just says, I don't want you anymore, and she goes, tries to find someone else to be her master. That would make us mad. That would make us sad, wouldn't it, Cindy? We love our little dog. Can you imagine God's people in Isaiah chapter 8, which rolls into the prophecy? In Isaiah 8, God brings judgment on His people. Listen to this. God's people have not only rejected God, but they're looking for someone else. Isaiah 8 says, when someone tells you to consult mediums and spiritists who whisper and murmur, should not a people inquire of their God? Listen to the heart of God in Isaiah 8, rolling into Isaiah 9. When someone tells you to consult a medium or a spiritist who whispers and murmurs, should not a people inquire of their God? Why consult the dead on behalf of the living? Consult God's instruction and testimony of warning. For if anyone does not speak according to this word, they have no light of dawn. You seek the kingdom of darkness, you get darkness. Do you sense God's frustration? He says, distressed and hungry, they will roam through the land. When they are famished, when they will become enraged and looking upward, will curse their king and their God. God says, I'm going to remove my blessing from you, and then you're going to blame me for your problems. Did you know that there are people out there that actually blame God for their problems? They're out there. They abandon God. They forsake God. They follow their own plans and their own ways, and when their life hits the dumper, they blame God for all their problems. Then they will look toward the heaven and see only distress and darkness and fearful gloom, and they will be thrust into outer darkness. If you're going to take notes with me this morning, here's note number one that sets up the context of the second Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. In terms of forthtelling, at the time of Isaiah, God's people were seeking other gods in occult darkness. At the time of Isaiah, God's people were seeking other gods, other masters in occult darkness. God is forthtelling. He's speaking to them how wrong they are. In Isaiah 1, you guys have forsaken me and rejected me, and by Isaiah 8, you seek other gods instead of me. God says, you've rejected my light and my revelation. You've rejected my light and my revelation. You've rejected Moses and the prophets, and you seek other forms of information, other gods, other deities, instead of me. And He says, I will reject you. You reject God, God says, I will reject you. Jesus says, if you deny me before man, I will deny you before my Father who is in heaven. You reject God, God rejects you. people reject God thinking that their life will be better. Have you noticed this? People walk away from the Lord. Pastor Frank has seen a lot of people walk away from God. It's kind of a game I play with myself. I watch people walk away and renounce God and reject the Lord. And I sit there and look at their life. Are they more loving as they've walked away from the Lord? Are they more joyful? Do they have more peace in their lives and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control? As I watch them walk away from the light and into the darkness, does their life get better? And you see their life as they become more self-centered and more selfish. As they enter into a life of bondage and a life of sin. Watch. Watch. God just waves. Why are you doing this? Why are you leaving the light? See, God's people rejected Him. And God rejected them. And hardship did come on the land. In the time of Isaiah, the Assyrians came and took away the northern 10 tribes of Israel into captivity. And only by Isaiah praying did God spare Judah and Benjamin, two tribes in Israel, in Jerusalem. But then they were later taken away too. See, so here's the fourth telling. But then there's Isaiah 9. Then there's foretelling. And it's so cool because here comes the mercy and the grace of God that even as we reject Him, He keeps coming. As God's people have rejected His light and His revelation and His presence, and they reap what they sow. But then there's Isaiah 9. Nevertheless, welcome to the second Christmas prophecy found in the book of Isaiah. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. It's like Isaiah is now speaking of way in the future, and it's already happened in the future. Here's a prophecy coming, future. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who are in distress. In the past, He humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, He will honor Galilee of the nations. By the way of sea, beyond the Jordan, the people walking in darkness of Isaiah 8 and Isaiah 1, the people walking in darkness, God enters into a dark world once again. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, prophecy, a light has dawned. Although God's people have rejected Him and His word, God promises in the future, foretelling, that one day He will give His people divine light again. Note number two, if you're taking notes with me, the prophetic promise of Isaiah 9 is that God will bring divine light to His people once again. The mercy and grace of God, He just keeps coming for us, doesn't He? And this is what's so beautiful about this. I love Isaiah 9. Notice that God even gives details on where His divine light and revelation will first hit the earth. God even gives, someday in the future, I'm going to bring divine light once again to my people. And I'm even going to tell you where it will begin. On the Sea of Galilee. Around the Sea of Galilee. Galilee of the Gentiles. The two tribes, Zebulun and Naphtali, were of the two of the 12 tribes of Israel that settled around the Sea of Galilee. These were the two tribes that were taken away during the Assyrian captivity. But God says that God humbled these tribes, and they were. Nevertheless, something in the future is going to happen on their land. God will bring blessing and light to His people once again. and they will begin on the Sea of Galilee. This was written 700 years before Jesus was born. On our first day when we go to Israel, Pastor Frank, every 2 years, right? I've been trying to take a group from this year. We might hopefully go next May the 1st. I fight to get to this spot. I fight. The first day we're in Israel, I fight that we can get to this spot. And what I mean by that, it's a hard first day because we're down in Tel Aviv area. And we got to go to Caesarea. And then we've got to go to Mount Carmel and the prophets of Baal. Then we go to Megiddo and the Valley of Armageddon. And we're on the bus the whole time. But I've got to get here because I want to end the day as we're heading up, as we stay on a kibbutz on the Sea of Galilee that's over to the right at Magon. I want to get to Mount Arbel because if I can get there soon enough, we get to go up. And I like to end our first day as I take them up on Mount Arbel, overlooking the Sea of Galilee. And we read Isaiah 9. From the mountain, you look over here, the first little villages you see there, that's Magdala. Mary Magdalene was from the first villages over here on the Sea of Galilee. You cruise around as it breaks to the right, Jesus fed the 5,000 just over there. Jesus gave his Sermon on the Mount just over there. And Capernaum's just over there in the fog, the city of Jesus. And if you look past that, you go a little bit further, there's Bethsaida and Capernaum. And if you roll over to the right, which I don't have on there, you can see the cliffs where Jesus cast the demon out of this person and into the pigs, and they go off onto the Gentile side, where the Gentiles lived on the other side of the Sea of Galilee. See, there was a baby that was born in Bethlehem according to prophecy. There was a baby that was raised in Nazareth according to prophecy. There was a one that grew up and at the age of 30 left his father's carpentry business in Nazareth and came of all places on the earth. Where does Jesus begin his ministry? Where will Jesus begin his ministry? The Sea of Galilee. Why? Because it's a fulfillment of prophecy. Doggone it. It's real. Do you understand? It's real. It's real. He's real. And when you're there, you'll hear Sarah, our Messianic Jewish guide, say Galilee means wave. And this is where the wave of Messiah first began. And the wave of Messiah is now crashing all over the world. And I love the surfer analogy. But that Jesus began surfing here first, walking on water without a board. Isaiah 9. It's beautiful. Nevertheless, there'll be... Just leave that there. Let me read Isaiah again. Just look at that. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in the distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali. But in the future, he will honor Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. This is 700 years where Jesus is born. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. God brings divine revelation once again to his people. Those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. And here's the prophecy. You've enlarged the nation. What nation? Repent, for the kingdom of heaven's at hand. Those are the words of Jesus. God's kingdom is being enlarged as we speak. You've enlarged the nation and increased their joy. When Jesus comes, he will increase joy to humanity. When this light comes, emotional prosperity will happen when Jesus comes. They will rejoice before you as people rejoice at harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder, when this light of Jesus comes. In time, there will be material blessing as a plunder of the kingdom of darkness takes place, as people are set free and chains are broken. For as in the day of Midian's defeat, you've shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of the oppressor. Beautiful how the prophet Isaiah speaks of Gideon's well, the 300. There's so many comparisons between Gideon and Jesus. With Gideon, he asked for a sign. Give me a sign, right? God, give me a sign that this is real. With the fleece, God will bring a sign that the child, the mother, the virgin will be with child. This will be a sign to you, and she will give birth, and his name will be Emmanuel, or God will be with us. With Gideon, there was an emphasis on faith and believe in God. With Gideon, there was defeat of great forces through seemingly insignificant means. In Isaiah 9, what is the cause of all these wonderful blessings coming to the world, as Isaiah writes, sometimes into the future? What is the cause? Here's the effect. What is the cause of all these blessings? Merry Christmas. A child. An insignificant baby. For to us, here's, and it's kind of fun when you read this, it builds to, it's like this Isaiah 9, it says, therefore, right? For to us, it's like this, it builds to this joyful explosion in the language. For to us, a child is born, to us, a son is given, and the government will rest on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Almighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Take notes with me this morning, my brothers and sisters, if you wish. Note number 3, the cause of this light and blessing will come through a child. Talk about insignificant means. All that happens will come through a child. Just like in Isaiah 7, Isaiah 9 go hand in hand, bringing more understanding of this child. This Christmas prophecy of a baby. And notice the names of this baby. Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Wonderful Counselor. That's light, people. Do you need is anyone looking for a good counselor? Anyone in need of a good counselor? You might want to think about this guy. He's really smart. The counselor of Isaiah 9 is sharp. If anyone raises from the dead, you ought to listen to him because he probably knows something that you don't. This counselor is sharp. This counselor is called Wonderful Counselor. This counselor has the ability to answer every question you've ever asked. I'm talking about the deep questions of life. You ask this guy the questions of existence, of the meaning of life. Why are you here? Who put you here? Why do you exist? Why are you here today? Ask this one. He'll give you the answer of your origin and the meaning of your life and your destiny. Your universal emptiness that's in your life. Your universal loneliness that's in your life. The universal shame and guilt that every human has. The universal sense of fear of dying. Ask this one about your emptiness, and he'll tell you the reason why you feel empty is because you were created to be with God. There's a God-shaped hole in your heart that needs to be filled. Jesus told the woman at the well, you drink from this well, you'll thirst again. But I have water, living water, you drink from me, you'll never thirst. He's speaking about a longing, a deep longing. This wonderful counselor has the answers to the meaning of life. People, like I said, in Japan, it rips my heart out that more people are committing suicide in Japan because of lockdowns than the disease itself. The people killing themselves, they have no hope for humanity, no hope for their lives. They ought to listen to him. He's a wonderful counselor. He's calmed my heart. Jesus has counseled me. In my 20s, trying to figure out God, man, and talk about an emptiness and a loneliness. A sense of shame and guilt and a fear of death, all that was me. And no matter how much I drank or how many parties I went to or whatever I bought, I woke up the next day. It's like, is this all there is? And then you meet Jesus and He begins speaking into our lives. Here is your purpose and meaning. He's called the Wonderful Counselor. Anyone looking for a good counselor, you ought to talk to him. How does Jesus walk on water and raise the dead and heal the lame and the sick? Look at the second name that's given to him. Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Eternal Father. See, the child is prophesied to be deity, just like in Isaiah 7. The child is deity. How do people miss this? He's a prophet, he's a good moral teacher. How do you miss this? 700 years later, the miracle man from Galilee declares that he and the Father are one. The night before he died, he's with his disciples, and Philip says, Lord, just show us the Father. Lord, John 14, 8 through 10, they're like, hey, Jesus, could you just show us the Father? That'll be enough for us. Jesus answers him, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I have been among you for such a long time, anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show us the Father? Don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you, I do not speak on my own authority. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing His work. Colossians 2:9 says, for in Christ all the fullness of deity dwells in a human body, in bodily form. God in a bod. How can you say this? It's prophecy. How Jesus, people were going to kill him. They picked up stones to kill him. He says, by what good deed are you going to kill me for? Well, we're not going to kill you for any good deed, but you being you say that you're the Son of Man, you make yourself out to be God. Yep. Why is that so hard? Does this just come out of a vacuum? It doesn't. It was all prophecy. Who is this child to be born? Isaiah is writing 700 years before Jesus is born. He says, one day light will dawn again around the Sea of Galilee. And one day when this light dawns, He's going to bring incredible revelation and joy to the world. Joy to the world. Right? And when this, Isaiah's writing 700 years before Jesus is born. And when this is a child that's coming. And He'll be Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father. And Jesus shows up. God want to say something to you this morning. This child rules peace. Prince of peace. Do you need any peace? See, this Christmas season, it's funny. The songs I used to like about mommy kissing Santa Claus, all that stuff means nothing. The message now is this. The world is in a world of hurt. The world needs Christmas now more than ever and the Christmas child now more than ever. And forget Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. The message of Christmas is serious for a serious time. God wants to speak. God has given a sign to the world again. God has given revelation to the world again. And when this one comes, He's a Wonderful Counselor. He's God in human flesh. He and the Father are one. Welcome to the mystery of the triunity of the Godhead. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three in one. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one, and you will love the Lord your God. And yet, there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and they're one. Good luck. But it's true. And by the way, you're a triunity yourself of body, soul, and spirit, FYI. God's all into this Trinity thing. There's a triunity all over the place of oneness. Family units, father, son, children, triunity. God's into this triunity thing. God in human flesh, the Messiah, the second person of the triunity Godhead, the Messiah is the Son of God. Welcome to the prophecy fulfilled in Psalm 2. God has a son and he will rule on earth. He's called the Prince of Peace. He rules over peace. Do you know what you need right now is peace? Do you know what your greatest need is peace? Do you know your greatest need is peace with God? The greatest need that you need is peace with God, and God desires peace with you. This child brings peace. What peace? The greatest peace that an individual needs is peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with our God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith unto this grace in which we now stand, and we boast in the hope of the glory of God. Peace with God, your sins washed away. This child comes to bring peace between humanity and God, a rebellious humanity and God. You who are rebellious, God brings peace through Jesus. He washes away your sins before God. Isaiah, writing in Isaiah 1:18, God, as he's speaking judgment on his people, he says, Isaiah 1:18, come now and let us settle this matter. See, there's a matter that God needs to settle between you and him. Come now, let us settle the matter, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be like wool. God is going to settle a matter that you and him have with each other. And it's the rebellion that takes place between you and God that offends God. You're a sinner. You fall short of God's glory. People, you offend God in word, action, thought, and deed. God is holy and you're not. And this brings separation and enmity between you and God. And you need to have peace with God. And God desires peace with you. And God gives you a child to bring peace in your life through the cross, through Jesus. He hung. He was born to die. Jesus comes, and he who knew no sin became sin on your behalf, that you might become the righteousness of Almighty God. All your sin and rebellion is taken upon him in an instant. And he hanging from that cross says it is finished. The accounting is paid in full. Finished, paid in full. At the moment he said it is finished, all your sins have been washed away. And God has been brought into peace relationship with you. Since you've been justified by faith, you have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You need peace with God. God desires peace with you. And it only comes through this child born. Merry Christmas. For you in here today that have accepted Jesus in your life, you have peace with God. God has no issue with you because all your sins have been dealt with, washed away, forgiven, paid in full through Christ. He makes you and God the Father have peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Jesus brings peace into my heart and into yours. Jesus brings peace. The peace with God. How about the peace of God? Peace of God. Do you have peace? Are you and God at peace? Now you can have peace with yourself. The wonderful counselor brings light and revelation, doesn't he? Check this out, people. How about world peace? How about world peace? He rules peace. He brings peace between you and God. He brings peace between you and yourself. And one day, friend, he's bringing world peace. And we end with this, Isaiah 9. Welcome to the Christmas prophecy. Isaiah 9, 6 and 7. For us, a child is born to us, a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the greatness of his government and peace, there will be no end. He will reign on David's throne and over his kingdom, establishing and upholding it with justice and righteousness from that time on and for how long? Forever. Look who's excited to do this. The zeal of the Lord Almighty will accomplish this. You and I in the 21st century, you and I, at Christmas time of 2020, we are sitting in the midst of the prophetic prophecy of foretelling. See, in the day when Isaiah wrote this, Jesus hadn't even been born. Jesus was born 700 years later. And you and I can now, in the 21st century, look back and say, this is Jesus. Ah, but you see, we're in the midst of the prophecy because this child's coming back again. And when he comes back, he's bringing peace, world peace. Is that okay to you? And when he comes back, his kingdom will be for how long? Forever. World peace. World peace. See, we're in the midst of this prophecy. He's come. He's here. He's coming again. Be at peace. Maybe he's coming back sooner than you and I think. In the midst of this weird year, did anyone hear that the Christmas star is showing up again on December the 28th? Did anyone read that? After 800 years, the Christmas star is showing up on the darkest day of the year. The 28th of December, the sun will shine the least amount of time on December 28th. On the darkest day and the darkest year that I've ever experienced, in the midst of it all, a Christmas star is going to show up. Jesus says that when he comes back again, that there'll be signs in the heavens. Hey, maybe, hey guys, he's coming back again. The prophecy's only half fulfilled. Are you ready? Should you be? Are you at peace with God? Pastor Frank, how do I experience peace with God? Only through His Son, Jesus Christ. No one else dies on a cross to wash away your sins. The only way you're going to be ready for heaven is through Jesus. Are you ready? What does God want to say to you this morning? Here's your last note. Note number 4, God wants to talk to you this morning, and here it is. What is the purpose of the prophetic sign of Isaiah 9 for your life? What does God want to say to you? This is what He wants to say. I just believe this. God, Lord, what do you want me to say to your people today? And God just, I feel like the Lord just wanted to tell you, I'm here. I'm real. Don't worry about it. I got this. Here's the note. The God of Israel is real. He's with you. Jesus says, follow me. Follow me. Follow me. You know what, brother and sister? This year stinks. I agree. God has a message for you and I this year. And this message is in Christmas. And if you listen real carefully, if you're looking for peace this year, I suggest that you go meditate on the prophecies of Isaiah 7 and Isaiah 9. Look real hard at them. Quiet your heart before a living God and let God speak to you. Because if you listen, you're going to hear God say, I am here. Emmanuel, God with us. I am with you. I am your peace. I am your joy. I've got you covered. Follow me. It's going to be okay. There's the Christmas message to his people. Do you hear him? Lord, I pray that you speak to your people this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you would bring your peace upon your people this morning. For those in here, God, that are just filled with anxiety and fear, would you just calm their hearts and help them to look up? May their mind dwell again on the revelation, on the truth, on the divine light that comes through Jesus Christ. Jesus of Nazareth, would you speak to your people this morning? May you speak through the sign of Isaiah 7. May you speak through the prophetic signs of Isaiah 9. Jesus, would you speak to your people today? Joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Unspeakable joy. I pray, Lord, that you would be a wonderful counselor to those of us watching today that need someone to speak truth in their life. Jesus, I pray that you would speak truth into your people today. I pray, Lord God, that you would speak truth to those that are on the fringe of faith, those that are seeking to understand purpose and meaning. May they listen to the Christmas child, the wonderful counselor. Would you speak into their life, eternal life, Jesus, I pray. Lord God Almighty, God in human flesh, everlasting Father, nurture your people, I pray, in the name of Jesus. Prince of Peace, would you bring peace to my brother and my sister's hearts today? A peace not of this world, a peace only that you can give. As you say, my peace I give to you, my peace is yours. Not that this world gives, but I give. I pray that you would bring peace to your people. Lord, may our faith be rooted in truth. May we not be seeking other gods or other answers to questions outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. God, help us to be faithful to you as our shepherd and our King. May we not look out for any other voices from darkness, but may we only listen to the voice of light. And Lord, we pray for the ministry of your Spirit upon us today. Help us to be people that walk in the fruits of the Spirit of love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and faithfulness and self-control. As we walk in the light, may we be children of the light, and may the manifestations of the Spirit of Jesus be upon us this season. And may, as everyone else is hiding under their beds in fear, may we walk in faith. For we know who our God is. We understand. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And thank you, God, for Christmas.